This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we were joined by Jesse from The Six to talk all about WCW The Great American Bash 1999 in a brand new episode of Up Yours.
Wait, sorry, Canyon's not even from New Jersey.
Is he not?
Where's he from? Oh, fuck, where's Canyon from? I just read, who's from Jersey? Like, obviously those two are, and it's like, wait, Canyon's...
So,
like,
yeah.
Would wear, like, a New York Rangers hat. Is he from New York?
Tom Queens!
So, Canyon's not from Jersey, Kurt Hennig isn't from Texas, and Harlem Heat aren't from Harlem.
No.
What else have we got here?
Sting isn't really from California.
What?
He moved there as, like, a teenager, maybe. But, yeah.
Right.
It's, like, from Iowa or some shit.
Oh, my God. All I know is the Jersey triad.
Yeah.
Wow. The pride and joy of New Jersey. Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana. And it's only $5, so what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever podcast app you're using. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, postmarks. How are we doing? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. It's a nice evening. Sunday night, you watch. We're maybe in the rarity here, but I'll just say it. As wrestling fans, we enjoy the Sunday pay-per-views.
I know we're in the minority.
I know we are.
But I love Sunday pay-per-views.
Especially in the summertime.
It's like, oh, it gives me something to do, but also it's Sunday. Still got, you know, work in the morning or whatever. Like, I'm not a fan of the Saturdays. Yeah. It interrupts my life too much.
Yeah.
Sundays are great.
Summertime, you want to go out on a Saturday, maybe work, maybe
Sundays,
you want to go out,
I'm like,
do stuff.
I just want to chill, have some food.
Wrestling's great on a Sunday.
Wrestling, Sundays,
what the Lord intended,
great.
To watch wrestling on a Sunday. Hello, yes, Braden and Davey here from Poison Rana. We're here with a special Up Next to talk about NXT Battleground. To check out all the other stuff we do, check out PoisonRana.ca and follow us on our socials at PoisonRanaPod. To check out all the other shows that we do, we go live every Tuesday here on the Post Wrestling Network, but it is a special Sunday because NXT, we're in Vegas, the UFC Apex, and we're going to talk all about it here today. But wow, what a event that has transpired from the Apex.
I think this definitely had the biggest buzz of any NXT PLE in recent years, I think. I think the whole, you know, Jordan Grace showing up, Ethan Page showing up. I felt this show actually had some buzz going forward, more so than I'd say Stand and Deliver did.
Yeah, like Stand and Deliver had, like, they quote, the biggest NXT crowd in the history of NXT.
This one did not.
This one was very the opposite, but at the same time, I think this one maybe had more eyes on it. Was it because of NXT TNA or was it because of Sexy Red, but we'll find out and we'll discuss it. So yeah, we will be going live again on Tuesday night, as we always do, for some up next. But follow us, Poison Rana, in your podcast app and our own Patreon to check out all the other stuff we did, because I know everyone's going crazy about the WCW doc. We just did a retro WCW Great American Bash 1999 review. Yes, we put ourselves through that. So go check all that stuff out. And we cover all the rest of wrestling stuff going on, and it never seems to end, because I look at my phone on Twitter for 5 minutes today and it's like, wait, Ricochet's leaving? What's going on? So love covering everything else in the world of wrestling. So be sure to follow all the other stuff that we do.
Absolutely, yeah. As you mentioned, we put up our Great American Bash review with Jesse from the Six, which was a hell of a lot of fun. We have a little thing on our Poison Rana Patreon called Up Yours, where if you're one of our top tier patrons, you get to pick something for us to review, and Jesse's been on this adventure where he's been watching every single Nitro and pay-per-view.
He's trying to see who killed WCW.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it was perfect time to have him on, celebrate the 25th anniversary of this terrible pay-per-view and do that. But we are we're recording a bunch next week. We're going to be a little busy over the next few weeks, so we're banking a whole load of shows, and we had a little poll on our Facebook group to decide. We wanted to do something European and wrestling related.
Clash and All In.
Yeah, we have Clash at the Castle coming up. We have All In coming up. The Euro start on Saturday, like this week. So we wanted to do something Eurocentric. And it was very close between Best Match Ever, the European Championship, and Best Match Ever, matches that have taken place on European soil.
Euro Trip came in third.
Euro Trip did come in third. But the winner was matches that took place on European soil. So we're going to be recording that this week. It's going to be a wide array of matches from, you know, WWE, the old world of sport, WXW,
New Japan,
Progress, Rev Pro, a whole lot of stuff. So really excited to do that show. Which we'll be recording this week. So have a think, especially we've got a lot of European listeners. If you've been to any of these matches, let us know or give us some recommendations.
Yeah, none of the recommendations. I know it's matches that have taken place in Europe, but please don't send us redacted versus redacted.
Yes.
Don't really want to talk about
which one.
Exactly. Yeah, so go check us out. All the other stuff that we do, lots of podcasts. I believe we have a show coming up where B Detroit has selected the episode of Family Matters featuring the Bushwhackers.
Okay.
We talk about a lot of random stuff over on our Patreon. So movie reviews, retro wrestling, and everything else. And while we're at it, if you are a Toronto or Toronto area listener, or maybe you're thinking of coming in for Money in the Bank, July 6th in the 6th, as well as Heatwave on the 7th, we are throwing a post-wrestling / Poison Rana party, and this one is going to be a banger. We're calling it the cash-in, so here comes the money, at Yuck Yucks, downtown Toronto. We're going to be doing live podcasts, some live wrestling comedy games, some crazy prizes, and I know that John Away will be talking a little bit more about this on Rewind or Raw just tomorrow, so definitely stay tuned for some things we're announcing for this show.
Yes, John and Way got some very special guests lined up for this. And if you want a little taster of what Braden and I might be preparing, I'd suggest go and watch our Christmas show on the Poison Rana feed and skip towards the end, because we're going to do some of the games we introduced to that show, but live in person with our guests, with our audience. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's not going to be an event you're going to want to miss. Even if you don't want to, you know, go to Money in the Bank after. It's a great way to hang out. So go to postwrestling.com/live to get your tickets. Get in there before they sell out.
Yes.
You don't want to miss out on this event. And also, you don't want to show up and, you know, not look dressed for the part. You could go wearing one of these mighty fine summery Poison Rana t-shirts. We've just dropped our new, like, button-up summer Poison Rana shirts with matching shorts.
The combo.
There's only one place you can get wrestling merch as, you know, fucking cool and different and not just a white print on a black tee, you know? We're thinking outside the box, and our boy Dickie Bird is always thinking outside the box at chop-tees.com. Go over to there. We've just released a whole lot of stuff in the Poison Rana line. We've got brand new What Up Doe baseball jerseys. Sino and B have a show on our Poison Rana network. They've got some really nice merch. Just seen the brand new Eagles Don't Hunt Flies jackets, like bomber jackets, which look super nice.
Yeah, Dickie's been going crazy. Like, I know we have our Poison Rana, the shirts that match the shorts, which we both already have on our way coming. But the prices you see, like, include shipping, include all the fees and everything. So it's, you get it, and you get it pretty quickly. So, like, I ordered these spiffy snapback hats, and I got it in, like, 2 days. So pretty impressive. But
and I don't these know, are, like, premium quality shirts and items as well. This isn't stuff that's going to just shrink in the wash or fade off or whatever. They're super nice.
The most ridiculous
hand stitch these brand new button-up shirts we got.
The post one is ridiculous.
Yeah,
the one with the like the teal color with the little post peas all over it.
Beautiful.
Like, oh my god, amazing! So definitely rock these fits if we see you in the six this summer in just a few weeks for Money in the Bank. Would love to see everyone out there, especially rocking the gear. And if you do buy any of our stuff, definitely send in pics and stuff. We'd love to share it on our socials because been loving all the feedback and support we've been getting from all the young tadpoles out there in the Poison Rana universe. So you can rock the Poison Rana hats, t-shirts, hoodies, shorts, and you can be froggy style all summer.
Absolutely. We are content creators, and we don't ask for a whole lot, but we do need to make some sort of income from doing this. So there's multiple ways to support us, whether it's through chop-tees.com, whether it's to signing up to our Patreon at patreon.com/poisonrana, or whether it's just hitting that subscribe button, hitting that like button, giving us a 5-star review, that kind of thing. All of that helps us so much, and we are very grateful for it.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for this post-wrestling community. That's such a big part of doing these live events, especially in our city in Toronto. It's really great to see and put like faces to names and people who interact, whether it's the live chats or like on the forum or the whatever it may be. Like it's super awesome. And I know I'm speaking for all four of us, John and Wei included, that we're very proud of the like community base that we've done for years now. So shout out all the postmarks out there. But let's talk about some NXT.
It's time to head to the Apex, yeah. I think.
Viva Las Vegas. Hey, maybe this is a precursor to some of the people planning their trip to Vegas next year for WrestleMania. You got a little teaser here. They showed the eye, right? No, wait, that's
the
London.
Sphere.
The Sphere, yeah. WWE probably won't be doing anything with the Sphere there. They said nothing, but I am still intrigued of what they could possibly do. Will we get WrestleMania on the moon before we get it in the Sphere? We'll see. But we go to the UFC Apex. Pretty interesting that they're trying out this venue here in Las Vegas. UFC do a lot of their BC shows here. If CM Punk is doing commentary, you know it's at the Apex. Is that pretty much how it goes? I'm not sure. I haven't watched
it. I'm not a big UFC guy, but when they announced this, the thing I kept on hearing was, oh boy, that place is like void of atmosphere or anything.
Really? You don't say?
What were your thoughts before we get into the show? But this was kind of buzzworthy, you know? It's TKO now, UFC, WWE, essentially the same company. And this was branded as WWE at the UFC Apex.
Yes, very heavily as well. And like throughout the crowd, the show, they would show people in the crowd, former UFC fighters and guests and stuff like that. It is interesting. When TKO obviously with UFC and WWE, when they first announced this, I thought this was maybe like some sort of trial run, you know, similar to when they tried the network out with
Arrival
all those years ago. It's like, hey, maybe, you know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, are they trying this out to maybe move the PC and UFC in like the same state in the same city, Nevada? Maybe that's where they would do that. That's just like me thinking like, hey, maybe they're thinking of trying to maybe move from Florida to Vegas. That's just like what I'm assuming. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe they just want to shoot more stuff here. I mean, they technically own this venue. So, but it does kind of just look like the NXT arena that they've been using. It might be a little bit bigger. I saw shout out WrestleTix, but they are saying like just under 700 people. When it showed the crowd shots, I didn't necessarily think it looked like 700 people.
Yeah, I think it felt around 700 people.
Okay.
Like they're pretty spread out. It did look very like the PC.
Yeah.
I do have a feeling this might be some kind of tester. Although it's a huge operation moving, you know, the whole of the PC to Vegas. that being said, having, you know, we just watched episode one of Who Killed WCW and Bischoff saying about, well, how did we get a fresh audience every week? Well, it was filming at Disney or Universal Studios, whatever it was, and, you know, doing multiple tapings and having different crowds. Obviously, Vegas is a bit of a, like,
entertainment capital
destination. And if you're offering free tickets or whatever to your regular tapings, rather than at the PC or at Full Sail, where it is the same Florida crowd every week, maybe it is a way to try and get different people in. I don't know. I didn't hate it. I didn't think the crowd were dead. I thought, but it did feel like a Tuesday night NXT show.
Yeah.
And there were certain things that I really didn't like, i.e. we kept on seeing the crane camera, like, quite often during the match. It's,
yeah.
You know, when you're watching, like, a soap opera or whatever, like a shitty TV show, and you see the boom come in, it felt like that a few times with this crane camera. And also, it had that kind of, I'm thinking mainly, like, WrestleMania 20, you know, when it was at Madison Square Garden, but the short entrance is right behind the ring,
yeah.
And you'd keep on seeing people walk back and forth. In this case, we had who I assume was a security guard right in the middle of the shot.
Right in the middle of the hard cam.
Whenever it was the hard cam shot, right in the middle on his phone. And it's like, come on. Surely, like, someone's watching that. Sean's watching that and going, get that guy the fuck
out of
the
screen. Yeah, it's just one guy.
So things like that, I wasn't too hot on. This was the show that was originally going to be in Savannah, Georgia,
okay,
I believe,
right?
Which would have been more of an arena. We've seen that NXT can fill, like, not necessarily sell out, but have a good sizable crowd in arenas.
More than an AEW show.
Their
lately.
Ratings have been pretty good right now. So why they'd, like, sacrifice, you know, money on the table, essentially, to do this show, I don't know.
This was a test.
I definitely see it. Something to do with UFC relationship. Obviously would have got this venue, I assume, for free, because it's their company. But yeah, I felt like it, for the card we had, which I thought was a better card than Stand and Deliver, I thought we could have had something a bit more than this.
Yeah, to me it was very similar to the WWE PC venue they've been running NXT out of, and similar to Full Sail, maybe
it's
just
like
a bit bigger.
It's like when they move from Full Sail to the PC, you're like, it's the essentially
same
the same.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, a few more people can fit in here, but it still kind of had this, like, by the end of the show, the crowd weren't that, like, hot, I felt.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of maybe just didn't pick up, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't necessarily hate it, but I agree about the guy on his phone, because it was just, like, standing there. There was an AEW pay-per-view, like, in the last year that was very similar, where it was just people walking back and forth. Have you seen this shot of the Taylor Swift concert where there's, like, random being in like, standing on these things, and people assumed it was Sting for just last week, where people are like, who is standing there watching the show in the distance, in the dark? But, yeah, I'm wondering what comes out of this, if WWE are going to try to do more things with the UFC properties. And it sounds like Dana White wants nothing to do with WWE, so that crossovers and dream fight cards, what, like Pancrase style things, is probably not gonna happen. So the best we'll get is fake MMA in the UFC Apex.
Yes,
and that's what we're gonna talk about tonight. So NXT Battleground from the Apex here in Vegas, and we start off, what a legendary moment here in NXT history. To start off the show, a beautiful cold open featuring Sexy Red, the rapper, twerking, welcoming us to NXT. Wow, I wish every show started off like this. Just twerking in the ring. Booty shaking.
Who needs, like, live bands opening the show or whatever? Just come out and shake your
America
booty.
The Beautiful right there.
Yeah.
Sexy Red. Beautiful. Sexy for Prez. But we kick things off with a great opening video, kind of showcasing a lot of the storylines going on. And we start with the inaugural North American Championship for the women's here in NXT. So the first champion will be crowned right here in a 6-woman ladder match. Out comes Sol Ruka, looking spiffy. Fallon Henley coming out like Kid Rock in her fur coat.
Oh, Fallon had the best entrance here.
Best gear.
Like, she's obviously recently turned heel. She's always had that kind of cowgirl character. She's the bartender. But here with her big, like, cow print fur coat and cowboy hat and a bit finally, like, has updated her look since the heel turn, and I thought she looked great.
Yeah, she was given, because her theme song kind of sounds like Kid Rock, but now coming out with the fur coat, I'm like, yeah, she's leaning into that American.
It's cold in Vegas, you know? You need to.
Exactly, yeah. Also coming out here is Sol Ruka, Fallon Henley, Jada Parker coming out with her crew.
Mm-hmm.
I forget now even who they were. Haven't been on
OTM.
TV. OTM. That's right. They're out the mud and they're here in the sand. Out come Lash Legend, also a great looking gear as well, looking like a queen here. And then Meechan stepping down from the main roster, trying to go for this title. And these six go at it, and at first, there's like everyone getting launched into everyone here. There's Sol Ruka hitting a moonsault to the outside. Lonnie at one point, Kalani Jordan here, did I mention she was in the match? Yeah, too many people. She gets put on a ladder at one point, and she's like doing these like splits and backflips to kind of duck these ladder shots, which was pretty impressive. Eventually, though, she gets like placed on a ladder, which will come into play when Jada then jumps off one of the other ladders and like uses her butt to squash her onto the ladder.
Yeah, we've seen her do this move normally with the draped opponent,
yeah,
with the kind of sitting on the ribs, but here doing it off the ladder onto a ladder.
A crazy German suplex from Sol Ruka on Meechan.
Oh, this, she landed like right on top of her head.
Yeah.
It looked kind of scary, but also, yeah, devastating.
There was then a spot with Meechan, Fallon, Lonnie, and Lash where all four of them, like, three of them have sleepers on each other, but there's four of them stacked up here, which was pretty cool. Eventually, they all like crash and burn. There's some sort of like X-Factor type move from Sol onto Lash onto the ladder. And then there's a ladder placed on the outside from the apron to like the commentary desk. And everyone in the match lift up Lash Legend and they dump her onto the outside. I think she was supposed to go through this ladder, but basically bounces off this ladder. This was a crazy spot here. It reminded me of when everybody in the 2005 Royal Rumble decided Muhammad Hassan had to go, so they all lift him out and throw him. This one was like, screw you, Lash, and they dump her out here. Meechan is firing up with all these offense. There's a crazy DDT, and then we see the first of a soul snatcher on Jada, and then another onto Fallon. And I mean, Sol Ruka can do this move literally out of nowhere. I know it's similar to the RKO, but like, this is a pretty awesome move to see.
It's definitely become what's fun about this move is how she's gonna hit it. She's not always doing it the same setup. We've seen it from a springboard. Here she's doing it off ladders. I think we've seen it off the apron. Definitely, yeah, like an exciting part of this match. Like we've seen in, as you said, with Randy in these kind of matches, a Rumble or whatever, where he just RKOs everyone. This was just soul snatchers out of everywhere.
But she's then thrown out of the ring, and then it's left with Kalani Jordan in, and she hits the one-of-a-kind like moonsault, but squashing, I think it was Jada, onto the ladder. And then Kalani goes up top, climbs the ladder, makes herself famous, and grabs the North American Championship to become the first ever Women's North American Champion here in NXT. But yeah, a pretty nerve-wracking ladder match. These are some like fresher talents, some greener talents here when it comes to WWE NXT. And I was nervous for maybe the wrong reasons, but like, thankfully there wasn't any crazy like injuries coming out of this.
I think we've seen that quite a few times with the women's ladder matches, not just in NXT, but on the main roster as well. And that isn't a criticism of the talent, just the, you know, the level of the talent, how long they've been doing it. And when you're doing these multi-person kind of clusterfuck style matches, but with a certain level of expectation, it's a ladder match. You do expect some kind of stunts and things like that, and it can be quite dangerous. I didn't think this was as scary as I thought it could be in that sense. Obviously, there was a little sloppiness here and there. Meechan, as you're like, oh, that's interesting, bring Meechan into NXT. As soon as the match starts, you're like, oh, I get it. She's controlling this thing. And was
she's like, let's hope no one breaks their nose.
Yeah, was there as a vet kind of looking after everything. I mentioned like Sol's moments with the Sol Snatchers was cool. We were debating whether Fallon would win this. We thought she could do some momentum, but you do have the heel women's champ right now. So going with a baby facing Kalani Jordan, who's been excellent, and I'm looking forward to see her run and facing different people. I did feel the end felt kind of sudden. You tend to, with these ladder matches, wait for that big stunt that takes everyone else out, so you get the victory. And here it was kind of just her hitting her normal finishing move and then climbing up. So it was kind of lacking maybe the one big spot in the match, but I thought this was a fine opener.
Yeah, this was a pretty fun opener. I definitely agree. I thought the finish came a little bit sudden. I think Kalani Jordan has been awesome. She's definitely stepped up here. I mean, it's all thanks to Dana Brooke. I mean, Ash by Elegance.
Yeah.
Right? We'll talk about that, why that makes sense later. But yeah, Kalani Jordan definitely been on a run. And if, you know, we've been following the storyline where Fallon turned, right? So Fallon can now chase Kalani and possibly, you know, take that title from her down the line. But I thought this was pretty good. I too was missing like a big finale spot that I think maybe we didn't quite get. But there's some pretty cool stuff in this.
In a weird, like rare production error as well, when they were showing the replays of the match, they were showing the replays with the commentary. So you had Vic kind of
talking over
recalling the match, saying about, oh, Kalani Jordan winning and everything. But you hear faint Vic underneath, which you don't often see.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare for WWE to slip up.
But like Kalani Jordan, now North American champion here in NXT. We see a recap of Ethan Page. So last Tuesday, he signed the contract for NXT and the title match. And after they went off the air, their social media showed that Ethan was attacked by Aura Mensa from the Metaphor for revenge. And then earlier today, when Ethan Page was kind of arriving or going to the venue, Aura Mensa then jumped him again. So
right. We
kind of thought that might come into play with the Metaphor and everything, with Lash kind of breaking things off with Trick on Tuesday as well. Who knows what could happen. But we also see Trick showing up. You know, this is a matchup featuring two guys in the main event for the main heavyweight title who both have very high caliber fashion sense.
Oh yeah, that's why they should be in the main event.
Ethan Page,
they both look like stars.
And his shirts. Like
stars.
And
yeah.
Trick barely ever wearing a shirt, but always wearing flashy jackets and pants.
Yeah.
So two of the best dressed wrestlers
absolutely
in the game. Take notes, every other wrestler. We see a video of Lola Vice training here in Vegas with UFC gloves on, and Shayna Baszler training with some UFC gloves on as well with her past there. So some cage fighters getting ready for NXT Underground. But we go to our next match. I can't believe that the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, are fighting in the UFC Apex. They've made it.
They've done it.
Wow.
Boneyards to Apexes.
To TNA to kind of TNA again, maybe. The tag title match is next. The champions, Axiom and Nathan Frazier, taking on the Good Brothers. And the storyline here is the Good Brothers said they were tired of all these main roster guys coming back down for the titles, and now they want the titles. And basically, Axiom and Frazier's gimmick or catchphrase is never slow down, so they're going to face two of the fastest guys. In wrestling. Early on, actually, Axiom and Frazier keep tagging in and out with like double team moves on Carl Anderson, keeping him grounded. But finally, the Good Brothers beat down on A-Kid, Axiom, and they're tagging in and out. There's then Axiom who finally gets a tag. There's then like moonsault into that DDT from Frazier.
This is to the outside, right? This was the...
No, this one was the moonsault into the reverse
in the ring.
DDT.
Just the speed he did it. Like even,
so fast.
Even when we see like... AJ, do this move. There's the pause before dropping the DDT after, whereas this was seamless.
You got to have precision to do this kind of thing. It was Carl helped.
Yeah, sure.
So he hits that and then a standing star for a two count. Carl does come back, though. I haven't seen him hit this in a while. That's the TKO for a two count. There's then like this backdrop, almost like the 3D the Dudleys used to do, the reverse neckbreaker combo. Again, a two count there. And then Doc Gallows putting on his working boots tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Gallows hits a Batista bomb.
Oh, yeah.
But it's broken up as well. They continue to fight everywhere. There's Carl with the spine buster for a near fall. And then Axiom locks in a sleeper on Gallows. And you think he's about to fade, but eventually it's broken up here. They go for the magic killer. That's like pulled apart as well. And then there's Axiom. Sorry, I think it's Frazier and Carl up top. And now Carl hits an avalanche TKO. Mark Mero would be proud. But it's also a kick out here. For a split second, I thought the Good Brothers may have won the NXT tag titles. This is when Frazier and Axiom then are going nuts. They send Gallows to the outside. There's topes, another tope, an avalanche Spanish fly on Carl, and then the Phoenix splash from Frazier for the 1-2-3. And they never slowed down to retain their tag titles.
This over-delivered for me. We joke about the Good Brothers on here,
like, luckiest guys in wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much. And they really aren't an exciting team for me to watch, and I feel like I've been watching them for a long, long time. But you can see when they've got their working boots on as well. I think they've kind of got that, you know, Randy's been guilty of this or just coasting a lot of the time. But then when
the Good Brothers? No.
Yeah. But when they actually turn it on, they're not bad. And I think Gallows is actually better than people make him out to be. Okay, he's a big guy. He's not the most exciting guy in the world. But again, when he's got his working boots on, he's got speed to him for a big guy. I thought that Batista bomb looked excellent. And I thought they showed up to work tonight. And Axiom and Fraser are very fun to watch. Their speed is just ridiculous. And it gives them a big win over a big team. Look, Gallows and Anderson are in the SmackDown main event story now with AJ. Like, they're kind of a big deal at the moment. So Axiom and Fraser getting a win over them is a good thing. The crowd actually really got into this one as well, I thought. So, this over-delivered.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all. It was what it needed to be to get these younger guys who are like the fast cruiserweights over on the bigger guys. And I thought they did do a good job. You're right. It definitely over-delivered from maybe what I thought it would be.
Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to think about this match ever again.
I don't want to watch it again
after this. But like, I was like, oh, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, exactly. Vic Joseph on commentary says that these guys are fast and they're champions. And who could ever keep up with these two? I have a thought. Axiom and Frazier versus the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah. I mean, I think we on our Poison Rana show a month or so ago, when we heard they'd, you know, finished up with TNA, our thoughts was them going to AEW. And I think if that was going to happen, we'd have maybe seen it by now.
Hmm.
This NXT does need tag teams. I think you have some promising tag teams in your, like, Idris and Malik or your, you know, Tank and Hanks or whatever, but they're positioned at a level.
Yeah.
And they're not on the level of these two. And I think, yeah, Machine Guns would be great to come in against these two. That would be a big heat wave.
Yeah.
And while we've got this whole, like, open portal or whatever we're calling it of random people, they might want to do that, have them come in as these free agents, similar to what they've done with the Ethan Page thing, but positioned as baby faces or whatever. I think it makes a whole lot of sense.
If it's not a forbidden door, is it the prohibited portal?
Yeah.
Something stupid like that. I'm just guessing, like, hey, these guys haven't popped up kind of on AEW, and it would be a fresh face. I'd put them on the main roster. Perfect. But to start them out.
I would too, but you could definitely
have. That match would be awesome.
You know, it would be interesting for Heatwave, and especially, you know, we've seen both in this city a lot. Like, they do work the indies a lot. People would be excited to see them.
Yeah, they're coming soon to Demand Lucha in July, which is going to be great. We see some video. We're watching the network version here, and we see some videos. They kind of were repeating some of the vignettes from NXT. Josh Briggs talking about the breakup of his team with Fallon and the scapegoat, Brooks Jensen, who's going to be popping up somewhere soon, I'm sure. And Carly Bright, Dante Chen, all NXT superstars.
Yeah, they're hyping up the Dante Chen Singapore Kane match with Alexis King, which is coming up on Tuesday, and how he wants to represent his country.
Singapore.
The first Singaporean superstar.
Yeah, and then he's going to have a Singapore Kane match. It's going to be great. So we get to a video package for NXT Underground. Somewhere watching, Shane McMahon is saying, sick.
We did have a commercial for SummerSlam 2026 as well, which is just crazy. It's like, man, can I get through this SummerSlam first before I'm planning?
They cut to
go to Minnesota.
Sorry, it's Minnesota, right? Yeah, they cut to Minnesota. They cut to Cleveland for SummerSlam this year, and it's like both the shots of Minnesota and Cleveland. It's like, doesn't look like a happening town. And then it cuts to Vegas, and you're like, okay, that looks like it's a great shot. It's like, nice. The
Bellagio fountain going
on. Yeah, the sphere and everything. It's like Minnesota. It's like, I think that's a polar bear. I don't know if they have those there. NXT Underground, the video for Lola and Shayna, the promo from, last week, where she said, I'm going to make you tap out or knock you out, but you choose, bitch. We got videos from former UFC legends like Josh Barnett, Bloodsport man himself here promoting this match for NXT. And then it cuts to different fighters throughout the crowd here. Brandon Moreno, in the crowd here before the show, before this match? Yeah, I wasn't familiar with him. They then show the jerseys in the rafters here from the Ultimate Fighter, and they shout out Ronda Rousey because Shayna, obviously teaming the four horsewomen of MMA all those years ago. I believe it's like over 10 years ago that they mentioned here, which is pretty crazy. But we get a great video for this match. This was one of the ones I was looking forward to tonight, and I think a lot of people were too. Great intros with the Shayna coming out with their gear on, ready for this match. So NXT Underground, they take the ropes down, and they got all these like jobber cops ringside as security and protection, almost like a lumberjack match, and very blood sport, kumite kind of thing here.
Kind of, even with the refs, it's like when they do an unsanctioned match, it's the zombie ref here in just all in black rather than the black and white.
The lights are dim. I thought the intro and the like entrances and the announcements and everything were pretty good. We start off, though, both going for the takedowns and strikes early on. Again, going for the fake MMA here. There's ankle locks where Lola eventually counters it and sends Shayna into the post and then goes for like sleepers. But then eventually they like jump. There's a few times where they hop out of the ring to like land onto the lumberjacks to kind of break it up, like the security guards. They then start to fight around the commentary desk. They're punching each other on top of this. Shayna doing her classic hammer fist here, like a true UFC fighter. There's then Baszler who runs at her with the knee strike, but Lola moves and she basically knees right into the commentary desk, which becomes the story where Lola starts to target the knee here, locking in all sorts of knee bars and types of different submissions. Eventually they get to their feet again and they're doing standing strikes. There's a beautiful roundhouse exchange as well. I thought both were really on top of each other here. Eventually Shayna, who can barely stand, who's hopping around, there's a sleeper from her. It's like a last chance attempt. And I thought the crowd were really getting into this. But eventually it's Lola who escapes it, but then gets the big knee from Shayna. But of course her knee is hurting, so she can't capitalize here. But she can't pin, right? It has to be knockout or submission. Yeah. She then takes down the knee pad, which wouldn't be the smartest thing if your knee was hurting. But she goes to take it down because she wants to run the knee right into her face. But as she's doing that, she eats the back fist from Lola, which is one of her finishing moves. But she sells it by basically doing the nesty plunge out of the ring, again, into these like security guards. So she's not quite knocked out here. But then goes back in the ring, and there's like arm bars and a kind of arm wrenches. And then there's another back fist and then a bunch of hammer fists from Lola here, where the ref steps in and calls off the fight, saying...
Shayna had, like, hit her head against the steel steps, I believe, and then rolled in and just gets knocked out.
Right away. And as the ref calls it, Shayna grabs onto him. Like, I think in so many UFC fights I have seen where the guy is like, no, I'm still in this thing. And the ref's like, no, I think of her. Just, no, it's off, And it's over. Lola Vice is your winner in NXT Underground. And then, of course, she shakes her bum.
Yeah. I think, you know, when this was Raw Underground and it just didn't work at all, was like a laughable segment on the show every week, I think NXT have really found a way to make this thing work. And I think maybe this is an argument for having this show in this venue, because I don't think this sort of match will work in an arena. You know, we were there for Shayna versus Ronda at SummerSlam in a stadium last year where they're trying to work this style of match, and it just it doesn't really work. Whereas I think having the more intimate setting, having the people around the ring, you know, the dim lighting added to it, just really focused on the mat, I think it makes this kind of match really work. And NXT haven't had a bad one of this yet. I think this is what, the fourth or fifth NXT Underground match,
right?
And all of them I've been pretty high on and enjoyed. And it kind of takes me back to stuff I did like about the empty arena era, which was, you know, I remember Danielson and Gulak having a series of matches, but they were like one of the highlights because it felt different. It was in this intimate setting. Obviously, you've got the fantastic Gunther versus Ilya NXT UK match, which I think that match was heightened by just how, you know, quiet it was, and you heard every chop. And I think when you're going for more the sort of realistic, like, sorry, fake MMA, but like we're doing like a quote-unquote shoot here,
brother.
I think the more intimate setting really works for it and helps it. I don't think this would translate well, though, in an arena.
Yeah.
I think if you would do this in Toronto, I think we'd be like, okay, this isn't working right now. But I enjoyed this. I think Lola's been great. I think her character's been really good. I think she's held her own on the mic. And I think this little Shayna feud has been really entertaining, starting with the Natty Underground match. And now you've got Lola as a character who this is her stip. She's undefeated in this kind of match.
Yeah.
Which I like. And beat Shayna, who's legitimate as well.
Yeah, no, I thought this was awesome. Look, the fake MMA thing can only work once in a while. I wouldn't watch a show like this all the time, but it once in a while it can work. And I was at the Bloodsport with Shayna WrestleMania weekend, and I really got into that match, like one of my favorite Shayna matches. Yeah, and I felt the same with this. Like, I thought it was really good. I love Lola Vice. I think she's going to be such a star for WWE. Mm. And here, it had a little bit of everything, like the mixed. I'm sure there's UFC fans out there, or even these fighters in the crowd who are like, what is this? Mm. Fake MMA, come on. But like, it's wrestling still. And
it's all fake.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah.
But like, I still really got into it. I don't know it necessarily was my favorite moment of maybe match of the show, but maybe it was just because it felt so different from all the other stuff that we have seen in NXT before. So dare I say, I really liked all the stuff Shayna was doing, the hammer fist, the kicks, the strikes, the submissions. But it was to make Lola Vice an even bigger star. And like, by, you know, the end of this year, she probably will be a champion.
And
here
doing more of an actual, like, MMA-style finish rather than, you know, locking in a submission, a wrestling submission move and then tapping out or passing out. Like, this felt like, as you said, what you see as finishes for fights.
Shayna wants a rematch maybe, though. She was like, no, wait, I'm not done. But yeah, Lola Vice is very nice. I think that we're going to see big things for her. I see gold around her waist in the near future, too. Latina heat.
Mm-hmm.
Lie, cheat, and
knocks you out.
Shakes her bum.
Yeah.
Great stuff. We go to another video for Eddie Thorpe. We saw this on Tuesday, kind of saying he's going to be representing his culture and his nation, like the likes of Chief J. Strongbow and Wahoo McDaniel. And I think he's returning this Tuesday out of the fire.
Yes.
Yeah. We get a backstage segment with our host with the most. Sexy Red is backstage when Kalani Jordan comes in with her newly won North American Championship, and they celebrate and they dance and they're having a good old time here in Vegas. I'm sure it's going to be a wild time with NXT Super. As we speak, the NXT superstars are running wild.
They're probably having a great night.
Fremont Street. It's earlier in the day. Maybe that's why this crowd is so tired. It's a few hours earlier than 8, right?
True, yeah.
Would have been like 5.
They're going to have a fantastic time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're starting at 5.
They then let us know, Vic Joseph says, that Sexy Red is coming to a city near you. Davey.
Near me?
Are you ready to see Sexy Red in concert this summer?
When's she coming here?
I don't quite know if she is coming here. I'm assuming maybe she's got a Toronto date, but In Sexy We Trust is out now.
Exciting.
Yeah. Also, another commercial here. Heatwave. This is something that's coming to Toronto. July 7th. NXT Heatwave at the Bank, the Scosh, the ACC. Are you ready? It's going to be hot, as the commercial showed sizzles and heat and waves. And then it showed our apartment.
Yes.
It's always weird whenever AEW shows our apartment way too much when they promote Toronto. But here we were. We were waving out the window, actually. If you look closely, you would have saw us. But we go to our next match, the Men's North American Championship on the line. The champion, Oba Femi, defending in a triple threat against Joe Coffey and Wes Lee. So Wes was the North American champion. I mean that because he was the man. He was running with this title, having great run with this, and then an injury that may have costed him his whole career. He somehow came back, and he's trying to go for that title. And then there's this Scottish guy who's just always mad, and him and his lads want the gold as well. And then Oba's just this mountain that no one can seem to climb. I missed Wes here. I love his entrance. It's such a simple thing when he jumps over the stairs and he's just like, what's up? It's good. I like it.
Wes.
Yeah. I also like Gallus and their green everything.
Sure. Yeah. Gallus.
Early on, Wes hits a tope to the outside, climbs up when Coffee's knocked down, and early here hits a spiral tap for a two count. He's just trying to get the win early. But Oba now back in, starts suplexing both of them, and he's throwing them into each other. At one point, he hip tosses Wes into the air into Joe Coffee, which is pretty nice. And then Coffee and Wes kind of almost team up here where they're hitting all these different strikes onto Oba, but he's so big that he's like not falling over. There's a sweet Marufuji kick from Wes, kind of sending him into the corner. But then Oba power lifts Wes off the top rope.
Ooh.
Like, so Oba and Wes are on the top rope, and he lifts him up to then throw Wes,
it's like military press style, into a crossbody
onto Joe,
launching him so high.
Yeah, onto Coffee here. This was definitely the spot of the match. It was very impressive, and somehow Joe got up. Somehow Wes got up here. Very nice. There's then a sweet looking tornado DDT from Coffee for a two count. There's then a DVD for a near fall as well. Wes kind of stomps on Oba. I mean, think Oba's a big guy. Coffee, he's not necessarily small, he's kind of jacked, but lifting Oba up while Wes kind of mushroom stomped him, very impressive. There's then all sorts of spots where Wes does a tope to Joe and then goes for another one, but Oba catches him in mid-air only to powerbomb him too. Just insane strength from this guy.
And just the way he slams them down, yeah. It looks so painful.
He's a monster. Honestly, he's huge. Back in the ring, though, there's the cardiac kick somehow and a spine buster. This is when Gallus, it's Pierre Gallus, they show up to attack Oba and try to stop him so Joe can get the win. They eventually hit the, what do I call it? I call it the Pierre Gallus copter, I guess. On Oba, they send him out. And then in the ring, Joe thinks he can capitalize because Oba's been taken out. He hits that shite-looking headbutt and then Wes kicks out of it. There's then Oba who like creeps up from behind of Gallus. A great shot here where the monster has reawoken and he like bangs both their heads off the apron. He kills these guys, throws them into the steps, and then goes back in. There's a cardiac kick onto Joe, but then Oba here just like starts to beat them up, and eventually there's a Meteora counter in midair where he powerbombs Wes out of midair like he's King Kong swatting a helicopter, and then another pop-up bomb onto Coffee for the 1-2-3, and Oba Femi retains his North American Championship.
Yeah, pretty fun. These multi-man matches with Oba Femi have really found a way of, you know, protecting him. I think we have seen in some of the singles matches where he doesn't necessarily come across as well, whereas in these multi-man he can do his big impressive feats of strength, disappear for a little bit, come back, do it again, and it just makes him look awesome. Like that military press off the top looked so good. He hit a double vertical suplex to both Wes and Joe just with pure ease. And the power bombs at the end just looked ridiculous. I think they're doing a good job with, you know, the Paul Heyman thing of hiding weaknesses and emphasizing strengths with him. This guy has such a presence as well. I think he'll be such a big deal on the main roster. And I think he's someone they should book in a kind of Goldberg-esque way. This guy doesn't need to be having long singles matches. He can get away with it in the multi-man.
Yeah.
He's such a beast and legit looks like he's killing people. So I don't think you necessarily need to worry about this guy going 20 minutes.
Yeah, if all goes well, Oba Femi will be a big star in WWE.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be talking about him in a year or so about how he's wrecking shop.
Yeah.
Doing a Goldberg run with
like
him.
Doing any of the stuff we've seen so far, like the spot at Stand and Deliver with the double electric chair, spot with launching Wes, you do any of that on the main roster, it's going to go way more viral than it is from NXT, and just people are going to be crazy impressed with this guy.
And just to add a cherry on top, if I already am not impressed by Oba Femi, he then, when he stands over the carcasses of Wes and Joe Coffey, he puts the North American title in his mouth just like Umaga. Mm. And I was like, yeah, look at this guy. He's a monster. Love him. This was a pretty fun match, though. It reminded me of some of the other North American multi-man matches. And it, again, kind of nice seeing Wes back in NXT. I think Wes eventually will be positioned for like the NXT championship, whether it's not like the next pay-per-view or down the line.
Yeah, they didn't have Wes pinned here. It was Joe that took the pin.
Yeah.
And we do have an angle that we'll get to a bit later where we can maybe discuss what we think's next for Wes.
Absolutely. We get a commercial break and there's a recap of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn featuring Finn Balor and Kevin Owens in a ladder match. You remember this match?
I do.
Good stuff, this match. I don't know why they were replaying this one, but it was nice to see it.
Sorry, Balor-Owens, that was in the ladder match? Wasn't that in Japan?
Oh, I thought it was in Brooklyn. Oh, maybe it wasn't the ladder match.
I think they were just showing highlights.
Oh, of the whole feud. Thing. Okay, I nice. I like that feud. Good NXT feud.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, as myself and Wei Ting will be providing full shows containing news of the day, questions, and so much more going live on those nights for patrons. Plus, we will have coverage of Wrestle Kingdom 19, Wrestle Dynasty, The People vs. GCW, TNA Genesis, a Rewind Away retrospective on the Ric Flair-Ricky Steamboat feud of 1989, all of your regular shows, a Daredevil primer, and throughout the month of January, you get a free month if you sign up for an annual subscription. $6 a month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We get a vignette for Wendy Chu coming Tuesday. Yes, that's right. The return of Wendy Chu. We see Ash Costello. No relation to Elvis, I'm assuming.
Okay.
But we've seen her apparently at WrestleMania or something. She's played out guitar or something.
Sure.
Yeah. That's right. We go to our next match, the NXT...
Sorry, you're right. The ladder match was Brooklyn.
Right, okay, yeah. How dare you correct me.
My bad.
The Women's NXT Championship match here. The champion, Roxanne Perez, taking on the challenger, the TNA Knockout champion, Jordynne Grace. It's TNA versus NXT here in Vegas. So this kind of got the wrestling world up in cahoots, something. They were up in something because people were pretty hyped to see Jordynne Grace be the surprise to face Perez here at this pay-per-view, at this PLE, and thus opening this portal for NXTNA, which seems like be opening up a lot more coming soon in the next little while. But our first little taste here is Jordynne Grace taking on Roxanne. I thought they had a great video package here. They made Jordynne Grace sound like a pretty big deal. At least Vic and Book did. Actually, I take that back. Booker T just hates TNA, which is quite funny because I'm sure he was definitely collecting checks from TNA for a long time.
Oh, I didn't get that sense.
Oh, I thought so.
Before the match, Vic was like, Book, you've been a champ in both TNA and
I thought later
and
on
WWE, and Book was completely singing Jordynne Grace's praises.
I think he was high on Jordynne Grace. I think he was kind of just like, yeah, but it's TNA. And then also Roxy is his girl.
Look, compare this, though, to Sting versus Triple H, which is just burying the fuck out WCW. I didn't get a sense that they were, you know, big leaguing.
Right.
TNA.
I don't think they were at least trying to. At least Booker, he's always supporting Roxanne against whoever she's fighting against.
Right, no, so. I thought they were presenting Jordynne Grace as like, you know, her championship is kind of equal to the NXT title, and she's legit. Considering what company this is and how we've seen them with other companies in the past, I thought they presented TNA as like an equal.
Well, this match starts off. Roxanne slaps Jordynne, which pisses her off, and Jordynne keeps going after her. Eventually gets up top, and Roxy wrenches her arm all the way down to the mat. At some point, there is blood on Jordan's like shoulder and chest. Now, I know Roxy at some points here was like chopping at Jordynne, but there was blood.
I wasn't sure if it was blood or lipstick.
Okay.
The ref never put the gloves on, which is pretty common.
So I wasn't sure what was going on, and it wasn't until after the match that I looked on social media briefly, and someone on there was claiming that it looked like Jordynne's earring got caught in Roxanne's fishnets.
Ooh.
Which, therefore, earring meets fishnet.
Yeah.
There's something's got to give there. So I hope the ear is okay of Jordynne Grace. So she's wrestling, and there's like kind of blood all over her face at some points in this match. So pretty badass. Roxanne's beating her down. She hits a very nice looking Russian side leg sweep for a two count. There's then an avalanche torture rack bomb from Grace off the top. This was very impressive, but somehow Roxy kicks out. Jordynne now is just repeatedly body slamming her. Eventually goes for a vertebraker, but it's Roxy who turns it into like a... counters that, but Jordynne then counters the counter, the huge like spine buster. There's a Rana faceplant from Roxanne, and then tries to go after the arm with all these submissions. We've seen heel Roxanne use the crossface as her finishing move. Eventually, though, there's a pop rocks that's blocked, and then there's a sweet looking spot where Roxy sends Jordynne to the outside. She was attempting to do the pop rocks off the apron, but she boots Jordynne and then runs the ropes and does a crazy tope suicida into a DDT onto Jordynne Grace. A beautiful lucha-esque move here from Roxanne. Very impressive. Back in the ring, though, she can't get her down and goes for pop rocks, but it's countered into a gory bomb. One of my favorite moves. Underrated move, the gory bomb. But still a kick out there. This is when Tatum Paxley is ringside and grabs the knockout championship title and tries to run off with it, which Jordynne Grace is like, what are you doing? But as Tatum runs with the title, Dana Brooke, I mean, Ash by Elegance.
Oh my God, that's Dana Brooke, Ash by Elegance.
I think Vic even said, did the thing where he like purposely said
he did it.
Yeah. And she stops her from taking the title. This is where Jordynne comes out. I'm assuming Jordynne Grace and Dana Brooke, Ash by Elegance, are in a feud of some sort because She basically, Jordynne comes out, nails Tatum.
She grabs the title, smacks Tatum in the face with the title, and then is like, and fuck you.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wait, okay. She kind of saved you or helped you, but okay, cool.
Whereas from our point of view, again, we haven't been up to date with TNA.
Yeah.
But it's like, this girl just came out to help you keep your title. Yeah. And she's like, nah, fuck
like
you.
Triple H to Paul London and Brian Kendrick that one time. I was like, wait, why? She helped you. She goes back in the ring only to be met with Roxanne. And she goes for the juggernaut driver, which we've seen her hit, which is pretty nice. The main Japan. But it's countered into an awesome looking cutter from Roxanne, only to set her up for the pop rocks. And the 1, 2, 3, Roxanne Perez retains the NXT championship, not only from Jordynne Grace, but defends it from TNA.
This was my match of the show. This didn't disappoint. I'm a big fan of both of their wrestling. And I think with the latest like Roxanne heel turn, it's really easy when you're like an undersized heel to just go, oh, you're a chicken shit heel and you're going to be running away and stuff like that. And especially when you're against someone who looks like Jordynne Grace and is as strong as Jordynne Grace. They didn't work that match. And I think Roxanne, what she's found in this heel character is a real aggressiveness, but also like a calculated sort of ring presence. Like we saw it in the Lyra feud where she was targeting that arm. And I thought in this match, she looked really vicious and was cutting down Jordynne Grace quite well and having smart counters and all that kind of thing, but then would do the cheap shots with just a slap across the face. And I think it made it believable, whereas sometimes it can be a struggle in wrestling where you'd go, look, this person would eat this person alive. Like, look at the size difference in that. And I didn't get that from that. Grace, I think, has been fantastic in all her appearances in WWE, starting with the Royal Rumble. I think she's made the most of her time. There hasn't been any kind of nerves of being on the bigger stage or anything. I think she looks like she belongs there. Shawn Michaels and WWE are clearly very high up on her. I kind of wish the finish was maybe the distraction led a bit more directly to the finish, because I didn't really think it kind of cost her the match. She seemed to deal with them, come in, and then set up for a finisher. So
it's still like there was interference.
But it wasn't like she then turned around and got hit, kicked in the head and beaten or whatever. The interference did take it down a notch from me. I get what they're doing. I think Tatum is exactly the right kind of person to send to TNA. You know, that level of person who could probably do with wrestling more and wrestling different people. And it does stick in line with the character they've been doing, where she's, what, Gollum, and she likes shiny things, where it's like, yeah. Oh, that's a nice looking title as well. And yeah, it's just hilarious seeing Dana Brooke back as well.
Ash by Elegance. Yes. You know, I found my Dana Brooke shirt. I was wearing it literally yeah. 2 days ago. You saw me I wearing saw it, and I forgot it at my girlfriend's house. So I'll have to wear that out now. People will be like, oh, you, Dana Brooke? You talking about Ash by Elegance, the legend. She had a big night, her and Kalani.
Sure, yeah.
Look, both featured Absolutely. On this PLE. I didn't know she'd be featured, but it's nice to... I'm a big Dana Brooke fan. It was. I'm nice
Death
to
match
see
Dana, right? That's what they were building before they cut her.
And then we never got it.
No, I know.
Yeah.
What did you think of the match?
Actually, you're right. I think this was my match of the night. Like, the wrestling was the best in this one from everything else aside. Like, not saying I didn't dislike a lot of stuff on the show. I just think this was the strongest match. And Jordynne Grace... Like, if all goes well, as same thing, as she could be a big deal in WWE if used right. I know she's been a big deal on TNA and kind of the indies. I mean, I've been watching her on the independents for a very long time, and she's always, like, going to the next level. I mean, just look at her now. Yep. She's a unit. She's massive. And pairing her up, like, just think of some of the bigger names on WWE main roster that she's already, like, leagues above some of the main roster talent, and like there's some big matchups. So I know she's with TNA and she's their champion, but like, how fast can we fast track Jordynne Grace to a WWE main roster?
I think as well, if Julia isn't fit for Heatwave,
yeah,
I think we just get this match run back.
Yeah,
I think especially with this not being an arena show, I think you can rematch a bunch of these
yeah,
matches
yeah.
because you know Heatwave's only 4 weeks away. Like, it's not a whole lot of TV to build, and you did have the distraction here, so I could see this being the Toronto match as well, and maybe even have Grace win it.
Yeah, I'm loving the heel Roxanne. It's bringing a lot more out of her and a lot more, like, interesting. I wasn't into the, like, oh, I'm a kid and I'm so happy I rode the bus to wrestle and stuff. Like, it was a good way to start, but now I'm, like, seeing the more, like, you know, fleshed out character. And again, I think she'll be a big deal when comes time for the main roster as well. So, yeah, this was awesome. And we kind of knew it would be with this announcement of Jordynne Grace. And she's a workhorse. So, again, I hope to see more from her in WWE, because I think she'd fit in great, to
yes,
be honest.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was our match of the night from this show. But then my moment of the night is something completely different, and it happens right here. In one of the most legendary moments in the history of NXT, Sexy Red, being interviewed backstage, says that she's going on tour, buy tickets, coming to a city near you, check out her new album, but more importantly, she's running for president. And then
what?
Lola Vice comes in, hot off her NXT Underground win, and Sexy Red congratulates her, and Lola looks at her, and Sexy looks at her, and they know exactly what they have to do. Shawn Michaels clearly listening to the internet this week, as Sexy Red and Lola Vice twerk off here. And then they get the interviewer, sorry.
Megan?
Yeah. Just to twerk as Sexy's going, go Lola. And Sexy Red starts to slap Lola's ass.
Yeah.
It's just a moment you have to see with your own eyes. Shawn Michaels.
He's cooking.
You're cooking. HBK. Wow. Sexy boy is on top. Wow. NXT is back.
I find it funny that Sexy Red hasn't performed. NXT,
she's just here.
Like,
she just did. What do you mean? Like, she just did.
But, like, say you're me, who doesn't know who this person is.
Right.
You know? And you're tuning in. Sorry. Who is this girl?
Sexy Red.
All she's done is come out and shake her bum.
Yeah. But, like, are you complaining?
No.
Okay, all right.
Just find it. Where's the story, you know?
Like,
you can't just throw a girl shaking a bum without story. You need story.
I watch wrestling for the plot.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is the plot. And then I watched Dynamite, and I saw the plot on that show, too.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Sexy Red and Lola Vice twerking, probably the ESPN highlight or the World Star highlights you will be seeing on all the meme pages, I'm sure. So, you know what? Since she's kind of been doing the stuff with NXT in the last 2 weeks, I see it all over like other websites and meme pages and all sorts of stuff. So it does help like cross promote for sure.
What I found funny here though was when Lola Vice approached Sexy Red, she still had her mouth guard in and then took it out. We've had two matches since
walking around that match. Dirty mouth guard.
Yeah,
she walks. Lola Vice walks up to Sexy Red. She's like, "We gonna do it? We gonna do it?" And then they twerk off.
Yeah.
Wow, best PLE ever. Great stuff. We then cut from a twerk off to Wes Lee walking backstage. He's being interviewed as he's angry. He says he's pissed off about what happened with Gallus. When, oh, speak of the devil, Gallus attack Wes Lee, a 3-on-1 beatdown, which could only mean one thing. We're going to the treehouse. I think it's time Wes calls some friends, some backup.
So, Zachary Wentz on Twitter posted...
Whoa. You mean Nash Carter.
Well, at Zachary Wentz.
Right.
But yes, tweeted out, "We're only one call away," as he kind of retweeted the beatdown attack.
Mm.
Yeah, I think this, you know, this kind of explains why Joe Coffey was in that match.
Yeah.
You've got Wes coming back. He's trying to get that title he never lost. You're now going to enter a feud with, I assume, the Rascals versus Gallus, which does have my interest. Like, seeing the Rascals, especially Trey Miguel, who we haven't seen on NXT.
Yes.
Reunited again. I think that would be a really cool moment. And, yeah, like, six-man heat wave. Would you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope this is exactly where it's leading to. I mean, it must, right?
And then after that, you can have Wes go for the NXT title.
I would absolutely hope that's the route. It would be great to see Wentz, Carter back here. Trey never being on NXT. Again, that's a pretty cool thing as well. Bring back the Treehouse, bring back whatever. They have great matches, and I'm sure if that is the match for Heatwave, the 3-on-3, book it.
And genuinely would be a very cool moment for those three who
yeah.
are clearly very,
very
close
tight
in real life.
Yeah.
And to have that, you know, if it is at Scotiabank, like,
yeah.
big arena with those three, like, partnering, I think that would be really cool.
Absolutely. So definitely looking forward to that. Rascals coming soon, possibly. We then go to our main event.
We did get a tweet from Cody as well.
Oh.
Who brings up his old friend, Ethan Page, and how he kind of enjoyed seeing him there, and that maybe he should come along on Tuesday. So
he says to see some friends.
Yes.
See a man about a dog.
Yeah. Which is, I think, NXT, their ratings have been pretty good. Whatever they've been doing recently, you know, the
Sexy Red,
the John Grace, Ethan Page thing, they've been getting a bit of momentum recently. And I think on a bigger scale, we saw that, you know, going into Mania, where you had all these sold out main roster shows, and they were doing the short entrance, packing these arenas, and they'd advertise, "We got The Rock on SmackDown, we got CM Punk on Raw," and they just want to keep that momentum going. This week you've got the NBA Finals going head-to-head with AEW Dynamite. So, announcing Cody, coming off of a PLE, you're doing all this TNA crossover stuff as well. I think they're going for a big rating this week and potentially trying to beat AEW and just keep that NXT momentum going.
Wow. You mean the developmental?
Yeah.
Beating AEW? Wow. What is this? 2020 again?
I know,
what,
right?
Was that when that was? That was the
2018,
yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean, they basically said Cody will be on TV on Tuesday, so looking
yep.
forward to that. Maybe he's going to have a segment with Ethan Page. Maybe he means he's going to go see other friends. What's Ricky Stark saying?
Oh, true.
I don't know. No, I don't think that's necessarily happening just yet.
Mm.
But yeah, interesting. Maybe Cody wrestles.
Yeah.
Maybe Cody sets up something for Heatwave. I mean, he's pretty busy.
Yeah.
He may quit soon, you know?
I could see Cody, yeah, potentially setting up a rematch between Trick and Paige.
Right. He's helping that kind
maybe,
of thing.
Maybe,
yeah. Somehow, some way. So we'll have to see on Tuesday. But we go to our main event of this show. The NXT World Heavyweight Championship. The champion, Trick Williams, putting it on the line against the new NXT signee, All Ego, Ethan Page.
It's funny, you know what I realized when this started? It's Ethan Page's probably like biggest moment in AEW was being part of
American Top Team.
And here he is making his debut
in the UFC
Apex. And
wow.
It's like, oh, Oh, okay.
MMA legend.
It was just an MMA show, wasn't it?
MMA, Shayna,
Lola Vice, and Ethan Page.
Wow. This guy just can't avoid it. He's probably just like, fuck's sake.
Is Dan Lambert in the crowd somewhere?
No. He's probably up on the walls.
Yeah,
probably. No, probably not. I don't know. Well, this match starts off. Ethan Page, he has music. Because we didn't see that. He's only been on TV for 2 weeks, and he did not come out to music last week.
Signed.
Yeah, so now he's got music. It says Ego in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something cool, I guess. I didn't necessarily hate it, so that's usually a good thing.
No, I also can't remember it, but...
Like, it's very WWE NXT current music, but at least it had, like, Ego in it, so you could kind of see that it's different from other people. But, yeah, we start off with Trick making his entrance, too, and the whoop that Trick... At least the crowd were really into that here. This match starts off, Ethan Page, Trick Williams. They start to brawl, start fighting at each other in the ring, and they start going around ringside. Eventually, Page throws Trick into the steps here, where like the other one just goes flying off. And in doing so, a security guard takes a bump here by accident. They definitely didn't know this was coming.
Was it the guy who was just...
on his phone?
On his phone in the center of the screen the whole show.
No, but we got a guard down here at the apex. Eventually, Ethan Page is in control. He gets Trick up top here and does... What's that move where you cross the guy's arms and then you throw him over top? Like ectoplasm or something like that? I don't know what it's called, but it looks cool. But only a two count there. Eventually, though, Trick fights back. He hits a float over DDT and then starts hitting his big leg lariats here. And then Page runs at him. Trick throws him up with the flapjack. He goes face first. Looked good. I'm not a fan of the flapjack, but I like Okada's flapjack and Trick Williams' flapjack.
You've got to be a tall guy for it to look decent.
And it's funny, I wrote that down because right after this, he hitting Okada's flapjack, style flapjack. He then hits the Okada when you throw the guy over the guardrail and then you run and cross body. He used the steps here to get some more height, but I thought this was pretty good. So, you know, when you think of Okada, you think Trick Williams here. Both got good drop kicks as well. Eventually, though, he gets back in the ring. And something I've never noticed in years of watching NXT, or WWE for that matter, there was a producer who was ringside with the commentary crew. And I guess the crowd were just not as loud as maybe they wanted, because this producer, on camera, clear as day, was like waving his arms in the air like, come on.
Oh, I thought it was Alex Abrahantes.
He's like, come on, guys. And he's got like a whole headset on, the WWE shirt and everything. I'm like, what? I've never seen that. Where it's like, audience, applause now, please. Boo this man. I mean, maybe it's not such a bad idea. But they had a hype man here, some producer. Eventually, though, Trick is in the ring. He goes for a bookend, but Ethan Page kicks out of that. And then Trick sets up the commentary desk yet again as they're brawling again ringside. And he's trying to put Page through it, but Page counters with this almost like a suplex into a power slam through the table, which was pretty nice. He gets Trick back in the ring, and this is where Page sets up for one of his finishing moves, the Ego Edge, the Ego's Edge. Basically the Razor's Edge here, but he throws Trick with it, hits the move, one, two, and Trick kicks out. Ethan Page is pretty upset by this because he's won majority of his matches in his history of wrestling with this move, so he's angry that the ref made this call, and he turns around and he's hit with the Trick shot, the knee to the face for the 1-2-3, and Trick Williams pins Ethan Page to retain the NXT championship.
Good. I mean, I think what you get from this is Ethan Page is very polished, you know, like right away feels like he belongs in WWE. He looks good. I think he's a very good worker. I really like his aggressive side to him. I was kind of saying it about Roxanne, but I think that's something he's always been good at, and it always shines in like his matches with Darby, where he's just tossing someone around and being quite mean and aggressive. Trick is holding his own more and more in these singles matches. Obviously, it's very hard to have a bad match against someone like Ilya Dragunov. Match with Melo didn't really hit. I'd say this was probably a notch above that for me. But again, I kind of found the finish a little odd. I mean, I think there's maybe the argument from Ego that like the ref kind of cost him by pulling him off. But it didn't seem like a, similar to the women's match, it didn't seem like a definitive like wonky finish to give Paige much like of an excuse to try and get a rematch, because I do see us going to this match again. And I don't particularly like bringing someone in as a big deal and having them lose right away
either. Yeah, yeah. It's tough because you just brought him in and you're trying to make it sound like he's the most lucrative star they signed with that angle, and then he just loses.
And you've had someone kick out his finisher already and then lose clean. Yeah, lost.
Like, I'm definitely, just as a fan here, you're like, okay, well, Trick, he's the project, giving him the title, pushing him as their main guy. Like, it's working. He's a star, and people are really getting into him and love watching him and everything. So you don't want to take the title away from him just yet. But at the same time, he needs the big bads to face. He can't just face people who are, like, really below him, or else he doesn't really come across as a star, because he needs to face stars. Mm. So you have Ethan Page. But then you're like, oh, well, if Ethan Page is coming in, then he should just be the champion right away because the chase and all that. So it is a bit, a little like, what do we do?
You can always have a Trick win it back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like kind of like, ooh, what do we do?
It's putting yourself in a bit of a corner. Dickie's asking, the ref pulled off Ethan Page. Yeah, like Ethan was beating him down in the corner and the ref kind of pulled him off.
And that's when he got into
the Trick shot.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. I thought he was just angry that Trick had kicked out of the move. Right. And he was like, that was three, kind of in his face and angry, and then turned around. But either way, it's like a cheap kind of like, we don't want to just pin you clean, but at the same time, you still pinned him clean.
But you'd already set up the metaphor stuff, which I think...
Yeah,
I mean,
which didn't come into play.
Maybe we're not... Maybe they've got something else in mind for Trick Williams. Maybe it's, we've got a TNA guy in the wings who's coming to face him in Toronto. It felt like this going into it felt like it would be a bit of a two-parter, especially with only a two-week build.
Right.
Maybe it is Page v. Noam at Heatwave or something, which does seem a little lesser than.
I didn't mind.
But I definitely saw a metaphor getting involved somehow to cost Page.
Maybe a triple threat? Noam Dar, Ethan Page, Trick at the next show at Heatwave. I don't know if that's necessarily a big... Like, I didn't mind this match. I thought it was good. It wasn't my favorite match on the show, but it still showed me that I think Ethan Page has, like, been ready to do these kinds of things.
Well, I think you see from this kind of match, both guys are very WWE, right? And I mean that as a good thing for them. Like, I think they fit this... brand, this genre, very well of wrestling.
So yeah, I'm not necessarily mad that Paige didn't win the title here, because I think there's more things to squeeze out of this. If it's just a rematch at Heatwave, then maybe a gimmick match or something, I'm not quite sure, but I think going back to Paige and Trick might be the best option for the main event there, or the title match at least for that show. So yeah, interesting, because I like Paige, and I'm kind of like, oh, I think Trick shouldn't necessarily lose the title just yet. But
left field, could you see Trick and like Josh Alexander?
I mean,
something like that.
That would be cool, because it's Ethan Page just fought him.
Like, there
North.
Is a bit of a history there.
I just don't like, who's their champ? Moose? Ziggler?
Moose,
someone? Yeah, I believe, Matt Hardy, I don't want to see any of these guys.
No.
Yeah, necessarily. There's not a lot of the TNA talent.
For me, it's Josh Alexander and Speedball. They're the two
absolutely.
I'd want to see involved somehow.
I mean, we've been saying for a while.
And both have that Canadian connection.
Yeah.
It's Toronto and all that.
Like, they should bring those guys in. We've been saying for years, those guys should have been signed to NXT, because they're just some great talent. But Speedball just needs to put on some shoes, and maybe they'll sign him. But no, I'm joking.
Speedball's partnering Trent Seven, isn't he?
We're going to see him back on NXT.
Axiom and
so after the match, Trick Williams wins. He holds up the title, and out comes Sexy Red to celebrate with Trick. She twerks a little bit, celebrates.
Would it be an NXT battleground at the UFC Apex without Sexy Red to close the show?
When I think of UFC Apex, I think of Sexy Red.
Sexy Red.
Forrest Griffin somewhere in the crowd, they're just smiling.
Mm.
Yeah, great. That was NXT Battleground.
Yeah, I think overall it was a solid show. I didn't think anything was particularly bad. I wouldn't say anything was particularly memorable either. It did feel like a... even though the card, I thought on paper, was very good, the feeling of it once the show was done was that kind of B pay-per-view that's setting up maybe other stuff. But I enjoyed it, but probably won't think of it much again.
Yeah, I was really happy that we kind of got a little bit of a shot in the arm a few weeks ago with the Jordan Grace, Ethan Page, and dare I say Sexy Red. So I was happy, because I was a little bored with what was going on post the whole draft. And bringing this in definitely got my excitement, and I think a lot of other people who are like, oh, wait, what's going on? There's a fake MMA fight. There's Sexy Red. There's this, there's that. Like, okay, maybe I'll check that out. It seemed there was a lot more interest in this one, and I'm happy about that. It wasn't my favorite show of this year, but at the same time, I still really enjoyed watching it. I think my highlights were the NXT Underground and the both women's matches. Really, were my favorite of this show.
Yeah, Roxanne v. Grace.
Yeah, that was my favorite match of the night. So both of the, like two women, definite women's matches, and NXT. That's a calling card with the women superstars here. I mean, like the ladder match.
It's the first time that there were more women on the show than men.
Yeah, look, right? There was six in the ladder match than the two other matches as well. So. Yeah, like pretty impressive there. So I still really enjoyed the show. I don't think it might make a list of, you know, best event or best matches of the year, but we'll always remember Sexy Red twerking at the Apex in Vegas. So yeah, I still really enjoyed it. And I think you're right. I think this does set up for the bigger show. I mean, we're here in Toronto, Heatwave in July. Maybe they got something special, whether we're pre-fantasy booking this, but like Rascals versus Gallus. Sorry, we're going to have to see Gallus live, but it'll be pure Gallus, the Rascals and them, maybe Ethan Page and Trick, part two, possibly Julia versus Roxanne, if Julia's okay. If not, maybe rematch it with Jordynne Grace. I'm not quite sure, but maybe we bring in some other people to do kind of a War of the Worlds heat wave kind of thing, Worlds Collide. So, yeah, fun show tonight.
We do have a super chat. Thank you, Jake from the Windy City, who sends us $10.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Jake, who says, great show tonight, but I just think this card deserved a bigger venue. I get they wanted to keep the NXT feel, but I don't know if a roadshow version of the PC gives the PLE feel I was hoping for. Yeah, I mean, I'd kind of prefer to see them, you know, once in a while go on the road and set up this kind of studio setting, but in different cities for their weekly show, but not necessarily for a PLE.
Yeah, I mean, what's stopping them from doing smaller venues, right? Like, I think back to the kind of the heydays of NXT, when they came to Toronto, not for the takeovers, kind of before the takeovers, they would do, like, the small Maple Leaf Gardens kind of things, and, like, some of the venues that, you know, Ring of Honor would kind of run. They could do that, but maybe they don't want to look that kind of low brow or whatever, but
if you're doing this kind of setup, like you could do you know, Rebel and make it look like
that's what TNA does, right?
Exactly. Yeah, like you can definitely do, but I think going on the road once in a while, like they used to do it with the tapings, didn't they?
Yeah,
they did like the Arnold Classic or whatever.
That was weird. There was weird times.
Had a couple of times
they were doing WrestleMania weekends and things, but I'm still like think the Scotiabank is a big arena. That's where WWE does shows and big concerts and stuff. So like they might not get 17,000 like they almost did at WrestleMania weekend, but I'm sure they'll get like 10,000.
I think they'll have a good number.
Yeah, I still think it'll be a packed
show. I've noticed because I keep having an eye on tickets. It's only been recently that they've actually put up tickets for Heatwave as a separate thing. They've been doing the combo ticket for a lot because I guess they want to try and get as many people to go to all three nights, whereas now they've like opened up that you can buy tickets individually for each show.
I was trying to look at tickets for this show and for Battleground, and I all I could see was resale, and the prices were really, really high because again, there's only like 700 tickets available, and I wasn't sure if that was like the prices were just always really high for this show, so wasn't quite sure on that. But the Heatwave show, it doesn't look that expensive. Right, so hopefully we'll see some of you there, as we will be there for NXT Heatwave.
We will indeed.
I see Dave in the chat as well as asking, do you think since TNA is looking for a permanent home, could this be what, like, WWE helps bring TNA into the Apex? I don't know. Again, something tells me there's Triple H is smelling blood in the water and is like, guys, sell me the tape library. Give me your talent. I don't know. There might be something there.
Like, I don't know how valuable a tape library is now.
Yeah.
You know, like, especially going to, like, how long will it take for everything to transfer over to Netflix anyway?
Yeah.
Like, we keep on going, like, fuck, what's happening with Was Next? Like, will 2014 NXT be a priority?
Right.
Will TNA be a priority?
Like,
they own a lot of stuff. And whenever you get the reports of, you know, Peacock and the network, it's not many people are going back and watching old stuff.
Yeah.
Certainly not.
Only us sickos.
Yeah. But,
we'll see.
Dave in the chat's also suggesting TNA versus NXT War Games. I think War Games is now pretty much main roster.
Yeah.
It graduated.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see. It'll be interesting. Yeah, certainly a Worlds Collide could be a cool thing to do.
But, like, clearly this show, being at the UFC Apex, like, there's some reasoning why they did it. There's a reasoning why they're testing something. Maybe they want to move things. I don't know if they're necessarily going to move WWE from Florida to Vegas. But, I mean, maybe there's something there that they will do more shows down the line at the Apex, because it's like, yeah, whatever, we'll just do that to save some money or something. But we'll see.
We also put up feedback on our Poison Rana Facebook group. So let's go. And do you have the feedback open?
I don't, so you go for it first. But search Poison Rana in Facebook, like the page, but also join the Facebook group there.
Well, we have Magan, who says, a solid show with no weak link. If it was up to me, I'd have the women's title match at the top. The artist, now known by Ash by Elegant, showing up was a surprise. Tatum running in to steal the Knockouts title is telling me that she'll be at Against All Odds. I don't think Roxy will go unopposed for much longer. In addition, Obafemi continues to be a straight-up animal, and he's got to get out of triple threats. Him versus Wes in a one-on-one is still on the table. The Underground match erased that SummerSlam fiasco. I kind of disagree. I don't think we'll be getting Wes v. Oba. I think this was a way of having Wes kind of, you know, I still want my title back, not have him lose and go on to bigger things. I feel.
Yeah.
Magan goes on, the ladder match was solid and everyone got shine. Kalani is a good choice as the first women's North American champion. Battleground has more development talent on a pay-per-view than ever, but there was far less botching. Even Trick looks more confident, pit of his comfort zone, and I bet him and Ethan Page aren't done after this. I do hope this NXT TNA joint venture will help this roster improve and replenish a shallow main event scene.
Nice. Thank you, Megan. Always writing in there. We go to Lincoln Loud. Love the name. He says, okay, I've had it. Oba Feming is a walking DLC character. Man was ragdolling Wes for damn near 85% of the match. A good showing from all three men. The women's North American ladder match was unpredictable. How Lash didn't break that ladder is beyond me. Yeah, I think she was supposed to go through it. Yeah. He continues, Rox and Jordan was great in my opinion. Vic glitching out trying to call out the blonde chick was funny. And Trick VEP exceeded my expectations. Overall, pretty solid night in my opinion. Thank you, Lincoln.
And over on our Twitter, I put up a little poll to see which was your match of the night. And quite overwhelmingly, Roxanne Perez versus Jordan Grace with 55.6% was your favorite match. NXT Underground coming in second.
Yeah, that's how I'd put it. Definitely. Yeah. A fun night. Appreciate everyone here in the post-wrestling YouTube chat. We do this every Tuesday night, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. We hit you with the NXT post-show on post-wrestling. So definitely check us out on Tuesdays. But if you're new to us or don't really know what we do so many other podcasts. Search Poison Rana, one word, in your podcast app or on your socials. Click that follow, that subscribe, and check out all the other shows. We do weekly shows talking about like AEW, Raw, SmackDown, everything else, the news. And then we got other shows like Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, where Dickie Bird, Martin Bushby, and Brandon from New Jersey just talked about John Moxley / Dean Ambrose in 12 rounds, 3 lockdown. Down?
Yes.
Wow. Dickie really did not like this movie, which made for a very funny review. So check that out. That's free. As well as Shot in the Dark with John Cena every week, 15 minutes or less. He'll fill you in. He watches TNA. He watches Ring of Honor. He watches Women of Wrestling. He watches all the wrestling. And in 15 minutes or less, he will fill you in on that. That's also on the free feed there. But we have a Patreon for $5 to become a friend, patreon.com/poisonrana. You get a whole month's access of all the stuff coming out, but you get to access everything else. And I want to shout out the Psycho45 in the chat who says, great show tonight. Loved the Friends and the King of the Ring reviews. Yes. What other wrestling podcasts? 1 month we're talking about Friends, Chandler Bong. And then the next we're talking about King of the Ring 1998.
Oh, yeah.
And then this week we were just talking about WCW Great American Bash 99. We go all over the place. So definitely check us out and support your boys and listen to all the podcasts at your fingertips, at your leisure. But appreciate all the love out there and everyone in the YouTube chat as always. We can't do this without our listeners. So hopefully we get to see some of you July 6th in the 6th, Money in the Bank weekend. we're going to cash in.
Absolutely.
At Poison Rana Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and I myself, Brayden Harrington, at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And sexy red for president.
Ahoy!
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.